Good morning, Doug.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Can't complain. You know, nobody will listen.
I know it well. Doug, you're the you work with CBS, and you're doing it again today. Is that not correct?
I hope so, unless my key card doesn't work, and then I got some explaining to do to my wife.
I think you will. College basketball analyst, CBS, host of the Doug Gottlieb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Really appreciate you doing this. Sweet 16 got underway last night. Real quick, and everybody wants to talk about Kentucky, but have you in your life ever seen a Sweet 16 where a team wins by 40 points?
There's been some blowouts like this before. It's the level of dominance tip to finish for this Kentucky team, which is impressive. Like, I mean, we've had, you know, this actually kind of happens sometimes in Sweet 16s where a team gets to the Sweet 16 who doesn't maybe belong, and whether it's because this is not necessarily West Virginia per se, but what happens last time was, you know, matchups, other issues, but sometimes what happens is the first weekend we celebrate these Cinderellas, like, wow, what a great story, or a team like this could happen to a UCLA tonight where, you know, they kind of somehow survive on a controversial call first game. And then the second game, instead of playing somebody good, the other team was upset. And so, like, UCLA beat Alabama Birmingham. Well, UAB is only there because, you know, because they upset. And UAB is the fourth best team from Conference USA. You know, so they're like the 60th best team in the country. So sometimes a team will get to the Sweet 16 that is just not of the elk of the other teams. And then a week to prepare, the Cinderella story kind of wears off, and they get blown out. So it has happened, but the complete and thorough dominance last night from Kentucky it's scary, but it also proves that there's a lot of ways you can try and beat Kentucky. Pressing them the whole game is probably not the way to go.
Yeah, they said,
That's who West Virginia is. It's like if I told you they should do something else, that sounds great, but that's not who they are. This is how they played the whole season, and you can't just scrap it when you get ready to play Kentucky.
Did you see Bob Huggins' face halfway through the game?
Yeah, well, you could leave a camera. I did their game the week before. You could leave a camera on Bob Huggins. Like, the exasperation on his face, trust me, even when he's winning, sometimes he has that face.
Yeah, but he just looked like he you couldn't get that game over with soon enough. And Bob Huggins is a proud guy.
No doubt. And he kind of knew it. Like, what happens is when we cover these games, guys tell you things and you kind of have to pocket them. And you have to, you know, like Mark Turgeon's the coach of Maryland. And he was like, dude, the two teams I did not want in my bracket were West Virginia because we only have one point guard, and then Kentucky because we can't beat Kentucky. And sure enough, he got West Virginia and they lost, and the point guard actually got hurt. You know, and Bob Huggins is like, oh, we can't beat them. You know, I was like, we can try. They're too big for us, and they're too skilled, and so they can throw over the top of what we want to do. So yes, I mean, and then there's that helpless feeling where you're like, they're plan A, plan B, plan C, all out the window. There's nothing we can do. So yeah, I mean, what time's dinner reservations? What time's the charter leave? Let's get home and let's just have a nice bottle of Chianti when we get back.
Yeah.
Doug, is Kentucky a team you'd want to see that they weren't full of all these one-and-dones? That what could this team do if they had the full 4 years at Kentucky?
Oh, well, first of all, let's remember, let's not create a misconception, they're all one-and-dones. Now, they have actually five players back from last year. Yeah. Only four are playing right now because one tore his knee. Willie Cauley-Stein, who might be their best college player in terms of his versatility, he's actually a junior. The other kids are freshmen, are spectacular, don't get me wrong, but here's what's crazy about it. Like, we obviously make a big deal about the one and dones and about how many NBA prospects they have. Three things to me are really interesting. One, the only guy who's not a McDonald's All-American is Willie Cauley-Stein, and I think he's their best player. Two, none of this works, I don't think, without Tyler Ulis, who's like a 5'9" freshman point guard, and he's the one guy, you know, one of the few guys who can't, he can declare, but he's not going to get drafted in the first round of the NBA draft. And then three, and this is the most important thing, they play really good basketball. It's not like they just roll it out and we're just better and go one-on-one. Like, they play team ball, they move the ball, they pass well, they shoot well, they play awesome defense. So there's, whether it's the misconception or just the preconceived notion of who they are and what they're about, I think it's important it's important to tell the story right, to tell the narrative right, that, like, look, they play team ball. They play great defense. There's very few holes within their defense, and that should be celebrated more so than the fact that they have more good players than anybody else.
You know, and there's something to be said for that too, because people want to hate on you know, the big dog, right? It's the Yankees theory. I'm so sick of the Yankees, or this is the perfect team. Everybody wants to upset them. But you know what? And you touched on that just a second ago, where you said, you know, these are guys, these are star athletes. They come out of high school, they're stars. They're the studs. They're the number one guys on their team, and they go to Kentucky, and they got to buy into the fact that they might only get, seven or eight shots a game, where they're taking 30 or 40 when they come out of high school. And so everybody's really not just bought into it, but had to, you know, operate on the premise that this is a team that plays as a team. And yes, these are studs. And whether they're one and done or not, I mean, you know, Calipari had to sell it to him, and it makes sense to him. And obviously, you know, playing well enough to be able to buy into it.
Totally agree. And the other thing is, I actually think it prepares a lot, prepares most of them for their next job in the NBA. And what I mean by that is, like, I think Karl Anthony Towns eventually will be a star in the NBA. I think Devin Booker, who's their best shooter, is like the next Klay Thompson. I think he's got a chance to be a star. But, you know, this is like, let me relate it to in a radio sense, okay? Like, you know, when you first start out in radio, you're usually doing it by yourself, the podunk town, right? And you're just talking and taking calls and whatever, and trying to kind of figure out what you're doing. Well, that's great, but in order to make it big like you guys have, or you have a big-time show, you got to be able to share the mic and do bits and have it short. Anyway, the point is that you have to learn kind of the economy of words. Well, the same thing is true for basketball. You got to learn the economy of shots. You got to learn to play hard for shorter periods of time when you first get into the NBA. And many of these guys, like Trey Lyles, a nice player, but he's not an NBA star. So if you're going to make it in the NBA and you're going to play for 15 years, you're going to have to learn to, for the first couple years of your career, come off the bench and do it in five-minute segments. Whereas most guys would prefer to go to college and, man, I want to get my shots, I want to play 35 minutes. And then they have to kind of relearn how to play basketball in that kind of economy of minutes and economy of shots. So I actually think it's great preparation for the next level, even if it's not normally how it's done.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Listen, Doug Gottlieb, thanks very much. College basketball analyst on CBS. Tonight you can catch yourself alongside with Charles Barkley, good friend of ours, Kenny Smith, and the guys tonight on CBS. Really appreciate you taking time to do this. Thanks, Doug.
All right, guys. Hey, look forward to seeing Kevin Pangos. You know, he's a GTA guy.
Yeah,
it's the only Canadian guy people know in this country.
Yeah,
Doug.
Exactly. It's the only Canadian guy people in this country talk about.
Yeah.
Kevin Pangos.
You don't like Pangos?
No, I do. It's just the only name that people use. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that are in the NCAA, right? But it's every time. So
not still playing.
Trey Lyles.
Oh well, he moved to Indiana. What, seventh grade?
Yeah, but we claim it.
You know, you can claim it. That's cool. I mean, like, look, you can't claim that you can't do the airport layover claim. You know what
okay.
I mean? Like,
all right.
You can't say, like, oh, you know, I spent time in Salt Lake City. You mean you had a layover there? You know, like, I was born in Milwaukee. I lived there till I'm six. I can't claim Milwaukee as Trey Lyles. You can claim because he's a citizen.
Yeah.
That's about it, though, right? It's a weird year because, you guys have invaded our country and taken our sport, although technically it was invented by a Canadian.
Right.
That's a point that we don't really like to discuss.